Our job is to reveal and heal. We all together have the power to lift you and your caring up. It is a rising time. He paused. Barry nodded, reached out, took his hand gently, and smiled. He finished. We wish you all well.
Are you a health professional wanting to explore all the options life has to offer? Then you've come to the right place. The Balanced Medics Handover podcast is all about living outside the box of what we've been told. I'm Isabella, your host, a junior doctor from Australia and trained coach. I'll be interviewing health professionals from all walks of life, artists, authors, non-clinical specialists, and more. These stories show that our choices are endless. Let's take the journey together. This is The Handover. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Handover podcast. This episode I'm really excited about. I've been excited to record and share it with all of you. We have Dr. Stephen Bergman in, and also known as Samuel Shem. So he's a doctor, writer, educator, and well-known for his novel, The House of God, which opened the world to medical satire. There are three other books in the series after The House of God to comprise the Healing Quartet, with the latest being Our Hospital, published in 2023. Yes.
There it is.
Our Hospital.
The fourth one.
Yes.
Fourth one. The Healing Quartet. We'll talk about it.
Yes. I can't wait to get into it. And Shem's novels reveal a lot of the secrets of medical culture, I feel, over the past 50 years. So starting in the 70s, which were definitely sounding like more wild times, going through the psychoanalytical 90s to the rise of electronic medical records and computers on wheels, and then up to the pandemic, which we are all very well acquainted with. So it's really an honor to have you here today to hear your story and your perspective on medicine. Thank you for coming on and to share your writing with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, I like to start every episode similarly. Can you share a summary of where you are in medicine and how you got to where you are now?
Well, I'm a revolutionary. So I always kind of wanted to be a writer, and my father was a dentist, and he wanted me to be a medicine guy. And when I went to Harvard, I really wanted to be a writer. And we had to go into a little seminar on writing, everybody. You know, there are like five of us in this with this woman. You know, I did a first thing and sent it and gave it to her. And it came back to me with nothing on it. She didn't grade it. So then I noticed little tiny words, see me. That didn't look good. So I'd go to her. And this is the, you know, this, I came from a small town, as you know, from the books, especially the last one, our hospital is set there. And so I really wanted to kind of be a writer and a doctor in a way. And I came to this woman, and this was she was going to assess my thing. And all she said, really, the first thing she said, this is so bad, it's below F. Below F, that's pretty low, you know. And it came to my eyes, you know, and I didn't really hear what she said or anything. So she said, try another one, you know, another one. So I went that way, and I finally thought, you know, she kept on getting me F, F, F. And I think one time, you know, D minus, you know, very good, you know. And but I assumed that I didn't know how to write. I could do a lot of things like medicine, but I couldn't do writing. And one day I was a golfer too on the team, and I was out there with a guy named Jack or somebody, or who, I forget his name. And he was down from the south. He was sort of a Adonis, you know. He looked like, he really looked like. And he was in the same little meet thing with me with this harridan. And at a part in the golf game, he said, I was bitching about how, I'm up to, I think, D minus now at the end of the thing. And he said, oh, well, I'm getting a straight A. I said, you're getting a straight A. This is, he could hardly be, he could, he was a great golfer, but he could hardly walk, you know. He said, you're getting it. He said, yeah, I've been sleeping with her all year. And maybe that, see me, see more of me naked. So, but I tell that because I realized, I said, well, okay, I can do a lot of things in my life, but I can't be a writer. She knows how to, about this. And all. I didn't write anything in 4 years. And, but I never, got the itch out, and I got a Rhodes Scholarship. You know what those are, I think. And finally, in 4 years later, when I graduated and went to Oxford, I looked around and I said, "Hey, she can't get me now." And I started to write, and so it was. And in the kids who were going to they get, when you go in the first year, they want to know, what do you want to do out of Harvard? And a lot of them, maybe 40 out of 1,000, want to be writers. Out of that group, I'm the only writer.
Really?
Yes, nobody. I mean, they did other kinds of writings, but not what I do. Imagine-y. And I realized that they sort of started too soon, where people told them, who did this at Harvard, that it they started too soon. They didn't have their own voice, and I just had a voice. And so when I got to Oxford, everything exploded. Everything exploded. But it was really in the, everybody was getting killed, like JFK. So if I think it's it was that was the start.
So someone telling you're not good, and then going
Yeah.
to Oxford and expanding.
Yeah. And I wanted to be a dramatist and short stories and stuff like that. That's more or less what I did. And then the next thing that happened, the real big thing, I was writing, but it wasn't, and drinking a lot, and that was all of, and so I spent 3 years there, and I finally got a PhD just because they were after me and I had to finish. And I had a choice that was very simple: either Harvard Med or the war. At that point, that was either an army in Vietnam, either Vietnam or Harvard Med. I thought, well, maybe I'd like to rather to stay alive, and maybe rather than killing people or getting killed. So that was a tremendous time and a tremendous thing to start medicine. Yeah. Go ahead. That's too. That now we only have one more question and we're done, you can turn me off if I'm going in the wrong.
No, it's I had no idea that's what. So your father would wanted you to do a medical thing, but also the choice was the war or Harvard Med.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you have no idea. You're too young. You have no idea what it was like, because I was, they were going to ship me over there, but that's when I jumped into, and the other thing that was there was leaders being killed, JFK and all that stuff. And so it was a, people were afraid of us by that time, because we had We stuck together, and that's when I started writing. And what I did is every at medicine, I would do the stuff, and then every summer I would get money from Harvard to go finish my PhD, which I wasn't doing, so I'd every summer. And then I'd come back and I'd say, where's the PhD? Well, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it, And then finally, I graduated. I said, come on, where is this? We're paying you for summers, And so I sort of put things together, and it passed it. It was, I had the, I was, I was teaching grasshoppers to, or yeah, grasshoppers and locusts to lift their legs. From that time on, I really tried to find ways in medicine to be a writer. And at the end of the and these things are so transient and so, you it's so things can go one way or another way. I'll just say one more thing about this. I've been so lucky, when it came time when I was done with medical school, you have to do an internship, right? So I was doing an internship in internal medicine, and I really wanted to go to Man's Best Hospital, the best one in Boston. And then when I opened my, there's a match, you open up your thing and you see where you go. And I wanted to go there. And I open it up. It's supposed to be the one I want, Man's Best Hospital. But I open it up. It's the Beth Israel, the House of God. What? What? I don't want to go to that place. That's not anywhere near where I want to go to bed place to a, to that place. Why? I had all the qualifications. I was number one in the class, basically. And I didn't know why. And so, if so, about 20 years later, they had an interview in front of a lot of people at where I wanted to go, and I met the guy, and he said, and I already had a PhD and I had grades and all this stuff, but I didn't go there. They didn't pick me, and so I asked him, hey, Jack, I don't understand. Why didn't you take me? He said, yeah, you were great. And you talked, you were wonderful. You already had a PhD and you're doing this. Said, well, why didn't you take me? Well, do you remember what you did at the end when we were talking about to you? I said, no, what I do? He said, well, there's one little thing that says at the bottom of what you wrote, I really want to write plays. I said that? Yeah, I want to write plays. And he said, we weren't going to. You didn't want to be a doctor. You wanted to be a writer. We weren't going to waste our time. And so it's amazing because if I, these all these little steps, if I had gone to the Mass General, it's such a good hospital, I probably wouldn't go on to writing or something like that. Going to the House of God, that was different. You ha and then I went to that, and you, oh my God, what is happening here at the House of God? I had to write it. I had to write it.
Yeah, I was going to ask about this because I feel like your book, The House of God, was one of the first things to rip the lid off seeing doctors as these super, human and infallible beings. And it's outrageous. It was then, I'm sure, and it still is outrageous now. I feel, what you spoke about, what you wrote about, what inspired you to publish it and to put it out there.
Yeah, well, let's go to now. Now, you know what's happening? I mean, yeah, everybody loved that book. Everybody bought that book. It was huge, and it's been gotten all it and has all of these awards for best ever and all of that stuff. You can look it up. It's astonishing. Everybody had to read it. And it's millions of copies. And now, in the last maybe 4 years or something like that, it started to say, you can't read that book. You can't have those in medical school. Really, it's banned. It really is banned. I mean, it still sells. It sells anyway, but I have just been discouraged a little bit that this is, I mean, this is the book, as you know. And it's women, women who are saying, oh, look at the way women were shown. And the answer is yes, exactly. But every single piece of that book, and some of it even toned down in this way, is what I went through. And it hurts in a lot of things. I can't, and I never talk about it, but I can say that some people, some women, some men too, probably, but mostly women are trying to, make sure people don't read that. Imagine that.
And it is confronting at times, the book, and it shows a lot of dark things and, physician suicide, mental illness, when people switch off their compassion in medicine to survive. And there is sexism, and there is also view of people of color, different, like not how it is now. So it's all of that, but it also shows, I think, how medicine was then, and it's still not completely where it should be, but it's what happened.
Do you think that's true in Australia?
I think so. In terms of the people not wanting to read, like trying to ban it, that's not happening. So that's not, I think that's a US thing. But I think it definitely. Men were overrepresented in medicine, and now it's kind of more evened out. So I think the 70s would have been very similar to how it was in the US.
At that time, it was the women's what do they call women's
Like liberation?
liberation, yeah, liberation at that. There was a big liberation, and the what happened in the House of God was true. I mean, I was sort of I was taken aback when women and nurses and all of that, very often they would just, they were looking for someone for that year. I got to tell you, the first time as a medical student, I went to the Beth Israel Hospital in surgery. Okay. And I was the first night I was there, you follow a real surgeon, surgical resident. I'm following him into where they sleep. And I'm going behind him into where the bunk beds are. And I'm going after him. And he turns around and said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to sleep here. It's a bunk bed. He said, get out of here. You're not coming in here. Go away. I said, well, why? Go out. See you next tomorrow. Okay. I walk out. A nurse walks in. I said, what? That's the way it was.
And that's why I kind of write wild 70s, because it's definitely seemed like things were more wilder than definitely how it is now. Now, if people try that, usually they get caught. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because it still happens, but people get reprimanded if that happens.
There's a sad case that I see in very much about certainly that book, but they can't go after the last two in the book, in the series, because it's up to current. And the women in our hospital, the one of the things that I'm very, very proud of, sometimes authors do get to this point. And it's because I'm old and all that stuff, and who cares? But the heroes or heroines in the new book, right? We got to talk about the new book.
Yes, our hospital.
The picture of women as doctors and as nurses, everything else, they are the ones who save things here. They are the major people who are wonderful and proud and really changing the book. They're heroes, heroines, and heroes. And that's the way it is. It's terrific. I think it's great.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it's a big, our hospital is a big shift from the other three in that it's in third person. It's not from Dr. Roy Bash as the main, center character. You have Rose, Dr. Rose, in. She's the main character, and there are all other characters in the book as well, but it's a shift. What inspired you to make that shift?
I had the most wonderful thing a writer can get because I'm looking, I've got three of these done. What's the next? And obviously, the next is about private equity, and a small. What I did, what I had a great, great sense that I now, this is going to be the last, probably the last book. I take these characters and gather them in my hands and write the book and bring all of those four books together. And it's such a remarkable thing bringing all of them together in my hometown. That's in New
Yeah.
York. Yeah. As is. I can go to my grave, not too soon, I hope. But it was like I was a very astute father to bring all these people out. And what I bring, I didn't know what I was doing in the house of God, but at the end, I knew how to put all of this together in a COVID. I mean. And they all come in, and the main characters are all there together. I couldn't be happier, about that.
Yeah, it's like a homecoming.
Yeah, and it's nurses, it's nurses. They save the day. they are incredibly important in this book, and it's just. I took a lot of shit, but I never doubted because I'm just doing what I saw at the start with the House of God. And then I was able to write about what is now. What is now?
Yeah. Has your view of women in medicine changed since the time you wrote The House of God?
Yeah. Of course, there was a way that women tried to be in the zeitgeist, doing it, rather than the men doing it in terms of relationships. And then the whole thing came along to everything's changed in a very helpful way. The way they win in our hospital is clever and very clever. Not like the House of God with all of the stuff absolutely out and out being seen. They knew how to do this, and they but they're a very interesting way that they take over. That's cool. When I said, how am I going to do this? This didn't happen. How the hell can I do this? And I said, oh my God, it's like, they come in and they help, and they just do it for, they don't get paid. And so the guys can't come and fire them because they never fired, they never put them in. And it works. And this is a very, very positive play of the last one, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's really interesting to read them all and see the transition and how things change in medicine in even in the last 50 years. How much is it close to your real life, and how much is it is fiction of your books?
I think one of my editors, first editor, I was going way out in writing, and she said, "You are best at one step from the truth, one step to or how it is, one step off, and that's enough to have all the humor, everything, but that you have to. The reason they're successful is because they're real, but things happen usually don't go like this, where everything is happening and people are doing things, and especially our hospital is a sort of utopia, if only this could be, the way it is. But there's a map for it. There's a map for doing this. So I take the shit from the beginning, and maybe somebody will say, "Hey, that's good. He's doing better."
It's interesting that the one step from what's real, because our hospital is very real for those that did work in the beginning of the pandemic, before we had vaccines, before we had tests for it. So like I was one of those people as well, and it's so real that almost I think some people might need to take breaks because it brings all the memories back. But the ending is, on the flip side, the ending is definitely more of a utopia, what could be.
Isn't it? I have very strong every one thing that people spend so much time writing, you kind of get it right by I'm going to be 80. Imagine that. And I don't know exactly what else I'm going to do. I mean, I've
Watch
had
this space.
just a charmed life. I mean, it's been terrible in some ways, but a charmed life. I've lived in a tremendous change in America, certainly, and well, even Britain and all of that. This is the worst it's ever been.
What's it like to witness this change, like from the 70s till now?
Well, right from the start, the issue was money. In the House of God, people were, ripping off. They were cheating on billing and stuff. It was very, very little and simple, but it was happening. To now, what happens in our hospital is these people that just want to make a fortune, and they do. They make fortunes in various different ways. There was a this private equity is I won't explain it, but private equity making all these chains of their hospitals. This one guy, there's a big thing in the Boston po papers that they found out that some guy he sold the hospitals that he had and made a fortune. So they're showing a big boat, what do you call it? What am I
Like
talking?
a yacht,
Yacht, a huge yacht, a huge yacht,
super yacht.
a super one, right? There he is. So they have this big thing, the guy and on the boat, and everybody here, this is last week, he made so much money. I mean, so much money. And everybody got, and the hospital's going like gone, almost gone. And then, like, 3 days later, he said, and he's got another boat.
Oh,
He's got two of them.
you can't make it up.
You can't make it up. I've always been ahead of what gets in the papers. I mean, the House of God was t telling people how it was, that it wasn't very good.
It's real.
That's always the core. The core is that. Yeah. And the fat man ends with the fat man.
And for those who haven't read any of the books, I highly recommend that you do. And The Fat Man's one of the the cool characters. I wanted to ask you, who inspired the Fat Man? It's like this almost angel on the shoulder that's always wise and knowing.
There was no fat man. People claim, doctors, people claimed that they were fat men, but no, they weren't. If we had a fat man, we wouldn't have to invent one. What I did, I don't, I mean, I got very lucky in my brain. I mean, I was mostly like the fat man. I mean, I was older. I didn't give any care of shit what they could do to us because they needed us. I don't know, well, where he came from. There was no fat man, but what he came from was I split, and Roy is split into two parts. The Roy is, down to earth and stuff, and the fat man is the teacher. And we didn't have him. I sort of got it, and I said, yes, I want to write about this guy, and do everything that's right and all of that stuff. And I mean, people after the book was out said, oh, that's me. Well, they were trying to claim that. They're still trying to claim that. I was writing our hospital for probably about a year and a half or something. And all of a sudden I got stuck. And I don't get stuck, but I got stuck. And I said, Jesus, and Janet and our daughter were going for 10 days in up in Maine, for vacation. And I said to her, I'm really depressed. And well, yeah, what happened? Well, I said, I'm having trouble with this book. There was no fat man in it. And I woke up one day, we were up there, and I said to her, Jesus, I really need to talk about this. I can't, I dreamed about the fat man. And she said, come on. So we went for a walk in the woods. And we talked it out, and I said, I miss him. He's dead, from the last book. I said, well, I can't finish this book and all that stuff. And, she said, well, why don't you bring him back? I said, I've got it, right? And what I've got is that the death of the fat man is fine, except he flies around and is a character just when he's wanted and when he's needed. And then, I mean, that it sounds like it goes too far out, but then, Roy has that he's mourning the house, mourning the fat man, and they have a meeting. And it turns out that a lot of people, when someone you love dies, you sort of see him, or you think about you see him. So, and when I did that, boom, I could finish the book.
You
The
needed
fat
them.
man lives, sort of.
Yes, he lives on.
Let me read something from this, okay?
Sure.
Because this is the book I want you to sell.
Our
Okay.
hospital. For people not
Yes,
watching, it's um.
this is now, I figured this may be the last book, certainly the book in this quartet, the healing quartet. I wouldn't go that way. I figured since I was stopping this quartet, I'm a really pretty hopeful guy. You can't write books if you're not hopeful, for sure. So this is the end. Roy and Barry are just finally, sitting, watching, talking, etc. Roy says, I'm with you totally. Almost everyone in medicine is hurting. Doctors, nurses, all the others working in the money-driven hell realms of American care. We're all suffering terribly. COVID has lit it all up for all to see. The risks to our bodies, minds, and spirit are profound, killing ourselves, acting normal, the poor, and the people of color dying in droves. And then he goes on. He paused, scanning the trees for fats. Nothing. He went on. We do miracles every single day, but we haven't been able to get a place safe to work in, body and spirit. One in five healthcare workers have quit. Many of us died. At the start of COVID, we did the most important thing for us and our patients. We stuck together. We. But it became a very hard thing to do. We ran into the big American South, killing off the American dream because it was only a solo dream in darkness, not really with others, not lasting into the dr day. Hatred and money killed it. He smiled at her. As the Buddha said, it's the three defilements: greed, hatred, delusion, the roots of suffering, right? Yes, Barry, he said. So when you go out there and do what Fat suggested, what would you say to the next generations? Now we turn our sight to you, the next generations of doctors and nurses, etc. This isn't our fight anymore, at least not on the front line. But it breaks our heart to see you this way. It's your fight, and we have your backs. We have faith in you. Stick together. Lean on us. Count on us. Call on us, and we'll be there with you. As he went on, it was as if he were reading from writing in the sky. Roy is this. All of you have made it as doctors and nurses. All you need from us now is inspiration. We promise we will help with that. It will be hell. But listen, take this in deeply. These things can change like lightning and with lightning. Sometime, maybe when you are down, your dark sky may lighten. And in that moment, you may glimpse a beloved person, a love, or a wild, kind teacher or family member, or as I did, a fat man. And in that sudden, strange awareness, you can count on one thing above all for sure. He smiled at Barry. Our job is to reveal and heal. We all together have the power to lift you and your caring up. It is a rising time. He paused. Barry nodded, reached out, took his hand gently, and smiled. He finished. We wish you all well. Something to think about when they finish. If they finish, if they buy it, and then
Yeah, it's like a handing of the baton almost. Yeah.
yes, that's exactly right. Is that too schmaltzy, do you think?
No, I thought it was, I really enjoyed that part. I think it was for me one of the fa my favorite parts of the book actually. Yeah.
Yes. When you're ending something big, but you know. If as a writer, I just wrote that out. I mean, I didn't even think. It's you know, it's that if you are on the beam, clear with clarity, and passion, and harnessing the passion, which was hard for me at first, it's life. You know, it's giving people more life and understanding, I think.
Yeah. Now I know we're near the end of time. Can I ask you two more questions?
Oh,
All right. One of
that means
them is
it'll be another 2 hours, right?
Yeah, the one question an hour. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you is what is one thing you would say to the listeners right now? Most of them are younger doctors from around the world. What's one thing you'd say?
I would say just simple, stick together. Stick together. Do not isolate. Isolate in your training and after in the United States, docs are killing each other. Don't go anywhere. Just stick together. That's the big thing.
Stick together. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of your books speak about that, about connection and mutual connection. Yeah.
And to see to see in your doctors and your patients and nurses on see someone who you can connect with them. That's what is needed. You have to really, mostly it's fleeting, but just even in 20 seconds, a good doctor or person can say, "Hey, hi," and make a con if you have a connection, a good connection, meaning both in the connecting, you'll hear everything, and it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, I love that. And then my final question is, how can people find our hospital? How can people find the Healing Quartet?
Where can they find it?
Yeah.
I don't know what they do in Australia. Well, you guys never buy books anyway, right? How did you get yours?
Yeah, we can't read down here, so no. We have Amazon, Kindle. I think our hospital's not on Kindle though, but the rest of the Healing Quartet is on most platforms for buying books. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, and the thing that I always have to say is it's not part of the four, but the spirit of the place is did you read that you said?
I'm started. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay, well, we can do this, we can do one on the next visit with you. The spirit of the place, many of the people are in there because it's in the same little city that in Hudson, New York, which is well, sure, but it's really a wonderful book about doctors and what's good, and it's very very much about me, So that's you'll love that. I love that book. Everybody loves that book, but I love that book. I had to write that book kind of to keep going. It needed me to write it. And then you'll see it goes and some of these people are in the new book.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was realizing after starting, and I'm like, oh, this all connects up with our hospital.
You go down,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting or got some attention of just being a good book, not just other things.
You've been listening to the Balance Medics Handover podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, I'd love for you to take a minute to rate and review this podcast and click the follow button. For more resources, check out the Balance Medics website. The link to this will be in the show notes below. See you next episode.